Today's shiur is Masechta Temora Daf Yod, and we will begin on Daf Yod Amud Aleph, seven lines from the top. By Rama Bacham, we know that the Torah Hakdoshah teaches us that when someone is magdish something, and then he comes to redeem it, he has to add a fifth. Ask the Gemara, if we have a situation where there's a magdish and a miskaper, where one person designated the carbon, and another person on behalf of another person. So one person designated the carbon, and the other person is going to have the kapara with the carbon. So the Gemara's question is, Magdish, Moisef Chaymish, and Meskapa Moisef Chaymish. Who is the one that adds the Chaymish? The one that actually designated the carbon, or the one that's going to have the kapara through the carbon? So the Mefarshim asked the obvious question. When we speak about Kabbonis, Kedushas Mizbeach, so we can make a differentiation between the Magdish and the Miskaper. But we know that when the Torah teaches us this din of Chaymish, it isn't only by Kedushas Mizbeach where the Torah teaches us this din. The Torah teaches us this din also by Kedushas by the Kabayis. And by Kedushas by the Kabayis, there is no Magdish and Miskaper. It's not a carbon. So, shouldn't that clearly be a raya that it's the Magdish who has the responsibility to add the Chaymish? And because of this question and other questions, there are some Mefarshim that indeed learned Shan the Gemara, that the Gemara never had a Havamina that the Magdish should not be the one to make the Kapara. It was always clear to the Gemara that the Magdish adds the Chaymish. The Gemara's question only was, does the Mechaper also add a Chaymish, or is it only the Magdish? That's one approach in the Mefarshim. The other approach in the Mefarshim is that, of course, when there's an opportunity to do Magdish, when there's only a Magdish, when it's a Beda Kabayis, so obviously that the only one that would be able to do add the Chaymish is the Magdish. The Gemara's question is, when we speak about Kavanis, whereas we described, there is a Magdish, and there is a Miskaper, who is considered the real owner of this carbon, and that because he is the real owner of this carbon, he should be the individual that should have to add the Chaymish. Amar Rava, to which Rava responds, Amar Krat says in the Pasuk, Vim ha-Magdish yigal as-Beisai. So the Torah is quite clear. Magdish, that's the Magdish that adds it, b'lo miskaper, not the one that gets the kapara. Now ask the Gemara another question. By Rami Bachama, Magdish ayesu tamura, or miskaper ayesu tamura. Similar situation, where we have one person designating a carbon on behalf of another person. Who is the one that makes the tamura? The Magdish or the miskaper? Amar Rava. So Rava brings a raya from the following halacha. There is a halacha that we mentioned. We mentioned still learn it. Learn this halacha in the Mishnah later in our Masechta. That the halacha is that a carbon tzibur or a carbon hashutfim are not subject ever to tamura. As we will learn, it's the subject of a machloikis panoam. If we learn it from a pasuk, or we learn it from comparing it to Maisa Behema. Says the Gemara, if we're going to suggest that it is the Magdish who makes the Tamura, why does the Mishnah rule conclusively that there is no Tamura by Karban HaTzibur or by Karban HaShutfim? We could paint a scenario where Metzinu Tzibur V'Shutfim or is a Tamura, whereby Karban Tzibur or Karban Shutfim a Tamura could happen. How? To go into Shav Shliach Lekdushe. If a Shliach was appointed to designate the animal, there's a Chiv of a carbon tzibur, there's a Chiv of a carbon shutfim, and they appointed a Shliach to designate that animal, so he is the Magdish. And if we're going to learn that it is the Magdish who makes the Tamura, so now we're going to have a situation where it's a carbon tzibur, but there's an individual who is the Magdish. So why does the Mishnah rule emphatically that by carbon tzibur there's never a tamura? If the Magdish makes the tamura, then there is a case of tamura even by a carbon tzibur. So the Or Sameach and the Oneg Yontif, based on this Gemara, teach us a very important point. Our Gemara is saying that the Shliach is going to be making the designation of the animal on behalf of the Tzibur. So we're accustomed to learning that there is a concept of Shlichus, and the concept of Shlichus says, Shlichus Shalodim Kamoison, that the Shliach is considered the extension of the Mishalayah. And we always understand Shlichus Shalodim Kamoison, as I just said, the Shliach is the extension of the Mishalayah. Al Gemara clearly indicates that the Shliach is not the extension of the Mishalayah. Because Al Gemara is suggesting that the Mishalayah, in this case being the Tzibur or the Shutfin, would not be able to make a Temura, and their Shliach would be able to make a Temura. Now, if the Shliach is viewed as an extension of the Mishalayah, so how could the Shliach make a Temura if the Mishalayah can't make a Temura? So it must be, they say, that Pshat and Shlucha Shalom Kamaisai is very different. Pshat and Shlucha Shalom Kamaisai in Shlichus works is that just like the Torah said, just like the Mishalayach has the ability to do something, similarly, the Shliach has the ability to do something. But it's not that the Shliach is considered the extension of the Mishalayach. But actually, the Achronim asked a number of very powerful questions on this Gemara. One question that they ask is, if this individual is the Shliach of the Tzibur, the one who's designating the animal, is the Shliach of the Tzibur, so we need to indeed understand, if the Tzibur is unable to make Temura, how could the Gemara have a Havamina that the Shliach of that Tzibur, even if we say the word of Dar Sameach and Dar Yontif, how can we suggest that the Shliach should be any more powerful than his Mishalayach? And moreover, there's a famous Marit. The Marit says, Mili Lemimsri L'Shliach. And what Mili Lemimsri L'Shliach means is that you can't just appoint a Shliach to do something that doesn't involve an act. The only thing that you can appoint a Shliach to do is to do an action on your behalf. But you can't, to be Makadosh Anisha on your behalf. But you can't appoint a Shliach just for words. So according to the Marit, asked the Mefarshim, how could the Gemara suggest that the Tzibur could appoint a Shliach to designate an animal for carbon on their behalf? Isn't this in the category of Mili L'Mimsri L'Shliach? And because of these questions and other questions, the Achronim have a very different Pshat in our Gemara. And their Pshat in our Gemara is that the Gemara doesn't mean that the Tzibur appointed a Shliach to designate an animal on their behalf. And now the Gemara is saying that if the Magdish can make Temura, why wouldn't that be a case of Temura by Carbon Tzibur or Carbon Shutfin? Rather, the Pshat of our Gemara is that we have an individual who knows that the Tzibur or that the Shutfin are obligated to bring a carbon, and because he knows that this Tzibur or Shutfin have this obligation, he goes and designates an animal all by himself that he will give over to the Tzibur. So when he designated that animal, he wasn't acting as a Shliach, and therefore we have answered the Marit. He wasn't appointed as a Shliach. He isn't acting as their Shliach. He's doing it on his own, that he's designating this animal, and then after he's designating this animal, that he will give it over to the Tzibur. Very similar to the situation that we've been describing in the previous questions that the Gemara asked. And now the Gemara's question is very good. When this Magdish, who's being Magdish of a Behema on behalf of the Tzibur, is he Abel, is he the one that makes a tamura? If he would be, if there would, if the halacha by tamura is that the magdish makes the tamura, we would have a situation by a carbon tzibur and a carbon shutfim where tamura is possible. Actually, this issue of mili mimsra l'shliach, this vart of the marit, that only under certain circumstances do we have the ability to appoint the shliach, not on all situations is a shliach, can we appoint the shliach, is very relevant la'aloch l'maisa, specifically when we speak about bitl chametz on Pesach. That the Paiskim say, Mr. Bruce says this, that l'chatchila, one should not appoint a shliach to do bitl chametz on his behalf, because it would be in the category of mili l'mimsri l'shliach, and our Gemara is teaching us that under those circumstances, shlichus isn't valid. And that's why the Paiskim say that only b'shas atchak should we rely on a shliach. Because they explain, even if we don't completely, even if not all the Paiskim agree with the marit, and under certain circumstances may allow shlichus to work even for a non-act, here it's worse. Because we know that the way bitl chametz works is it works through hefker. And hefker is certainly something that you can't ask a shliach to do on your behalf. And therefore, the Paiskim strongly suggests that unless it's a shas atchak, the bitl chametz should always be done by the owner of the chametz, and you don't have to be near your chametz to do bitl chametz. And the Gemara brings another raya that it can't be that it's the magdish that does the Tamur. Damrav Nachman Amrafuna. Tana. The pasuk in describing the kabbonis a nazir has to bring when he finishes his days of naziris says kabbonah l'Hashem al nizroi muvana shatasig yodai. And the question is that this pasuk is a very difficult pasuk to understand because v'chi nazir nidan behesig yad, is there a din of hesig yad by naziris? Hesig yad, as we learned in the Masechta Erechin, means that we evaluate the person's financial status. And indeed, by certain kabbonis, the Torah does speak about the person's financial, the Torah speaks about the financial status by a carbon that a mitzvah brings, by a carbon that a yoledis brings, by the kabbonis that different shvuas, there's a din of shvuas bitu and shvuas, there's a din of carbon oil of yairut. But there is no din that we look at the person's financial status when we speak about a nozir. So how do we understand this possum? So although, when we look in Rashi in Chumash, Rashi in Chumash does say what the possum means when it speaks about hesig yad by naziris. And it and Rashi Chumash quotes a sefri that says it means that if somebody accepts upon himself a naziris, and when he accepts upon himself a naziris, he says, I am accepting upon myself a naziris, and I'm saying that when I finish my naziris, I will have to bring, I will bring 1,000 oilus or 100 oilus. The halacha is that he would have to fulfill that obligation when he completes his naziris. So why doesn't our Gemara say that that's pshat in the pasuk? Say the mefarshim, because actually, if one would become obligated under such circumstances to bring those kabbonis, is a machloikis of the Chachamim and Reb Shimon. And only according to Reb Shimon is that obligation truly an obligation. The Chachamim disagree. And therefore, the Gemara here is going according to the opinion of the Chachamim. And again, we start, the din of Hesig Yad doesn't apply by Nazir. Hakeitza, kabbonah l'shem al-shef, ishmishloi. The positive kabbonah l'shem is talking about when the Nazir designated his own animals to fulfill his obligation. Mavara shetesek yadoi shifresh loyacherim is referring when somebody else designated an animal on his behalf. Now, says the Gemara Lamai Hilchoson, what is the pasuk teaching us? Ilay melinya kapara, that one person can designate animals as a carbon for the nazir pshita. That we don't need a pasuk to teach us. Pshita the mechapalei. Why shouldn't it work? Matanaka yavlei. He gave him a gift. Ella, what is the pasuk speaking about? A tamura. That the Torah is teaching us that just like when I designate my own animal, I can make it into tamura. When somebody else makes an act, designates an animal on my behalf, I can make a tamura. And shmamina. And isn't this, therefore, this pasuk raya? That when we have Rabbi Bachama's question, do we go bust the magdish or bust the mechaper? Isn't this pasuk teaching us that bust the mechaper is leaning? We follow the person who's actually having the kapara. Says the Gemara, no, this is not a raya. Because we're going to say, loy, in the kapara. What the pasuk is teaching us is that one person can designate an animal as a carbon on behalf of another person, on behalf of the nazir. But if that's pshat, we ask, why should we need a pasuk to teach us that? Of course it works. He's not doing any more than giving him a gift. And why do we need a pasuk to teach us that it's effective? Answers the Gemara, we need a pasuk. Because were we not to have a pasuk that clearly teaches us that one person can designate animals on behalf of another person by Naziris, having meaning we would perhaps think that it's a Gzeris HaKosif, Karbonoi, Mididehu the Mechaper, you could only use your own animals to fulfill your Naziris obligations, Medachayim Loi. The Torah wants you to spend your own money to fulfill that obligation, and it can therefore not be fulfilled through anyone else doing it, designating it on your behalf. That's what the Torah teaches us, Kamash Malam, that yes, somebody else can designate an animal on my behalf. But if that's pshat in the pasuk, we no longer have a pasuk that teaches us a halacha regarding tamura. And as far as tamura is going to be concerned, indeed the halacha would be, that the we don't have any raya. So the Gemara asks, "My havala." So we began with a question. When we speak about Helchus Tamura, who is the one that makes the Tamura, the Mekadosh or the Mechaper? And the Gemara says we don't have an answer. So ask all the Mefarshim, yes. The second raya that the Gemara attempted to bring from Nazir has been refuted. But didn't the Gemara attempt a different raya? The raya from Karban HaTzivah and Karban HaShutfim, where if the halacha were that we followed the Magdish, it would be a raya, then we would have a case where you can make a Tamura by a Karban HaShutfim, by a Karban HaTzivah. That raya hasn't been refuted. So ask Mefarshim, why does the Gemara not feel that we have an answer to the question from that raya and ignores that raya? So the Mefarshim respond that because the Gemara now has a whole new understanding in what it means when we speak about a carbon tzibra and carbon neshutfim. When we learned the Gemara earlier, we assumed that the issue with a carbon tzibra and a carbon neshutfim was that there is no yachid. When we speak about a tzibur and a shutfim, there are only a rabbim, there are only shutfim, there's only a tzibur, there's no yochid. And the Gemara therefore wanted to come up with a situation where we did find a yochid. Now the Gemara has a whole different understanding. Now the Gemara's understanding is that by a carbon at tzibur or a carbon at shutfim, because they're in the category of that type of carbon, when you're in the category of that type of carbon, there is no Tamura. It makes no difference, even if you'll be able to come up with a situation where there is a yachid involved, like the Gemara indeed attempted to, it won't change the category of carbon we're speaking about. And that carbon is that category of carbon is excluded from Tamura. And therefore, we don't have an answer to our question yet. What is the halacha by Tamura? Is the Mekadosh or the Mischaper the one that makes the Tamura? Says the Gemara Toshma. The Gemara says, Damer Vua Omer Rav Yochanan, Magdish Moisef Chaimish. When it comes to Chaimish, it's the Magdish that adds the Chaimish. When it comes to Tamura, it's the Mischaper Oisef Tamura. And another Halacha Rav Yochanan says, the Tarmish Loya Shalcherim, if I have produce and you have produce, and I'm taking from my produce truma on your behalf, the halacha is the tovus anah shaloi. The tovus anah belongs to the individual who is who's actually giving the truma. The definition of tovus anah, Rash is a machlokes Rashi and the Rambam. Rashi learns that tovus anah means that the Yisrael who is giving truma has a right to get payment from someone that he should give the truma to that specific kohen. Obviously, as we learned in our previous shiurim, it can't be the kohen himself who gives that payment, because then we would have a concern of kohen hamisayeya beis hagronos. But a Yisrael who has a grandson, a son-in-law, a nephew, should give money to a Yisrael that he should give the truma to the specified kohen. The Rambam says that payment is osur. Even by a non-kohen, such a payment would be osur. And therefore the Rambam says shat tovus anah is much simpler. He says that who has the right to choose which is the kohen, who is the kohen, who has the right to choose who will be the kohen that should get the truma, it is the one who's actually giving the truma that has that right. How do we know that halacha? My tama, amakra, it's called Master Tavoscha Vinosata, that it's you who are giving the truma, and that therefore it is you who will make the choice who should be the kohen, and even according to Rashi, get payment for it. So the Mefarshim asks, isn't this obvious? If I'm giving the truma, then I should have the right to make the decision. Why do we need a pasuk to teach us this? So Mefarshim answer, were we not to have a pasuk, we would think that in a case where one person is giving truma on behalf of another person, there is no concept of tovus anah. And especially according to Rashi, the Rashi says, in those cases, everybody will agree that payment cannot be delivered on behalf of choosing a kohen. That's why the Torah has to teach us that not only in a case where I give truma from my own produce, from myself, is there a halacha of tovus anah, but even in a case where somebody else is giving truma on my behalf, is there a halacha of tovus anah? So the Gemara paskened lemaskana that by tamura the halacha is it's the miskaper, and by chaimish it's the magdish. And I saw that the Sefer Nezer HaKodesh gives a svara regarding this distinction. He says a carbon, when is a carbon redeemed? It's only redeemed, as we've been learning, when it becomes a bamum. Tamura, on the other hand, is done generally with an animal that's not a bamum. So says the Nezer HaKodesh. When we speak about pigeon, so the miskaper is not considered the owner, because we're speaking about an animal that's a bamum, that's not going to be brought as a carbon anyway. And therefore, the therefore Rabbi Yochanan says that who is considered the owner? The Magdish. On the other hand, when we speak about Tamura, since the Tamura is a healthy animal, and that animal is going to serve as a kapara for the Mechaper, therefore he should be the one that should make the Tamura. So says the Nezer HaKodesh, that according to his Svara, that what will happen if a Tamura was done with an animal, then that's a balmum. So there, the reason why the miskaper is considered the primary player, the primary party, according to the svara of the Nezer HaKodesh, falls away. And therefore, he suggests, he says it only as a havamina, it could be under those circumstances, even Rabbi Yochanan would agree that there the magdish makes the tumura, not the miskaper. Says the Mishnah, Eim Amirim, we can't take a limb of an animal that's chulin to use as a tamura for an uber that's kaidish. Nor can we take the uber of a chulin to be a tamura for aver that's kaidish. Nor can we take the uber or aver of chulin to be a tamura for shleimim. Nor can we take animals which are shleimim to be a tamura for ubrim or avrim that are kaidish. And as the Mefarshim point out, once we have the second halacha that was stated by the Tanna Kamma. The first halacha goes without saying. The reason why the Mishnah mentioned the first halacha as well is because the Mishnah wants to show us the difference of opinion between the Tanna Kamma and the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, to say that in the first halacha there is no argument between the Tanna Kamma and Rabbi Yossi, and this first halacha of the Mishnah is something that everybody agrees to, even Rabbi Yossi. But what does Rabbi Yossi disagree with? Rabbi Yossi Omer, Mavirim Avim B'Shleimim. We could take the limb of a animal that it should be a tamura for an animal that's hegdish, for a whole animal that's hegdish, avlo shleim behem. Says Rabbi Yossi, why? Because says Rabbi Yossi, avlo ben mugoshim, hoi miraglish azu oilo. Just like by kotshim, there's a concept that if somebody says the leg of an animal should be oilo, the loch is that kula oilo, that the entire animal becomes a carbon oilo. The concept that we've learned and will still learn about a posh the kedusha the kula. So just like we say kosh the kula, but when magdish an animal, after shiur miraglish azu tachazu, when we make a leg of an animal to be the tamura for another animal, we say posh the kula, and it therefore will be an effective tamura. And as the Brisker Rav explains, when that the halacha posh the kedusha the kula is not to be understood, says the Brisker Rav, as a din in hegdish. Because were it to be a din in hegdish, then we could of course immediately say that perhaps the halachas of hegdish, of being magdish, and the halachas of being making a tamura are very different. That isn't what the Gemara means, says the Brisker Rav. What the Gemara means is that there's a fact that comes into play whenever we're speaking about hegdish. And that doesn't make a difference what type of hegdish. The hegdish automatically spreads. And just like when you magdish, it spreads completely, so too when you do tamura, does it completely spread. Says the Gemara. Itma. Our Gemara now begins a discussion, a machlokes, of Apada and Rabbi Yochanan, if one could be magdish an uber, if one could designate a fetus as hegdish. And as the Mefarshim explain, certainly in a situation where an animal became hegdish, and after the animal became hegdish, I attempt to and then it becomes pregnant, the Vlad will be hegdish automatically. Al Gemara, they explain, is speaking about a situation where I started with an animal that is not, I started with an animal that was not hegdish, and the animal was pregnant, and I want to be magdish the fetus, and the question is, can I be magdish the fetus? Can I be magdish the fetus separately from the mother? And we have a machlokes, b'apod omer, ein kedusha chal al ubrim. Kedusha is not chal on the ubrim. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, kedusha chal al ubrim, one can be magdish an uber separately. Says the Gemara, v'az Rabbi Yochanan tamei, dam Rabbi Yochanan, hegdish chatzis muveris v'yoda, if somebody was magdish a animal that's a carbon chatzis when it was muveris, and it gave birth, rotz ba miskaper, rotz bevlob miskaper. Which means as follows. We've learned that there's a concept that the Gemara discusses many times of a person who's mechuyev a carbon, and he's concerned that if he designates an animal as a carbon, something may happen to that animal, and therefore he designates two animals. So the question that the Gemara is discussing, that Rabbi Yochanan is discussing, is of course if somebody designates two animals for his carbon chatas, that is the classical example where he uses one, and that the other one actually lemisa ozla has to be left to die by carbon chatas. The question Rabbi Yochanan addresses is when he designates an animal which is already pregnant to be his carbon chatas, and he says that these two animals should be considered as two separate animals, that he should have the right to choose which one of these two animals he could use for his carbon chatas. And since Rabbi Yochanan holds that you have the ability to be magdish the uber separately, that is exactly the case as if you designated two animals for your carbon chatas. chatas. Rapada obviously disagrees. Rapada holds that there is no designation on an animal which is, on a fetus which hasn't yet been born. Another naftamina between Rabbi Yochanan and Rapada is if one indeed designated an uber as hegdish, and then the uber is born, and he brings it to the Beis HaMikdash, will that be considered a situation of chulin b'azara? According to Rabbi Yochanan, of course not, because Rabbi Yochanan just taught us that it's considered a full-fledged valid hegdish. According to Rapada, it would be a situation of chulin b'azara because the hegdish wasn't the valid hegdish. But the Mefarshim do point out that, as we're going to learn in Mitzvah Sherman Amid Beis, even Rapada agrees that although you can't designate it with a Kedushas HaGuf while it's still an Uber, Rapada does agree you could designate it with a Kedushas Domin. So he says that if you designated the Uber with a Kedushas Domin, and then it was born, and you brought it to the Beis HaMikdash, it wouldn't be considered Chulin Bazaro. So Mefarshim asks that we know that when an animal is born, it can't be brought as a carbon until it's 8 days old. And since it can't be brought as a carbon until it's 8 days old, you can't even be magdish it until it's 8 days old. So ask Tosfos and the Rishonim, so how come over here the Gemara wants to suggest that we should be able to be magdish to Uber? You certainly, it's not 8 days old. So they answer, where is there a halacha that the animal has to be 8 days old in order for the hegdish to be valid? That's only by an animal which has already been born. And the animal exists in the world. There is a halacha that if the animal isn't 8 days old and it can't be brought as a carbon, you can't even be magdish it. But by an animal that wasn't even born yet, so there's no concern that you're going to bring the animal as a carbon, it hasn't been born yet, that halacha doesn't apply. Then the Mefarshim asks another question. We know that hegdish is obviously a form of a transaction. And if hegdish is a form of a transaction, how could Rabbi Yochanan suggest that we should be that we could be magdish an Uber? Isn't there a halacha that ain't other magna davar shelo b'loyel, that we can't do kinyanim on something that doesn't exist yet? And certainly an Uber doesn't exist yet. So how could we do a hegdish? So the Sefer Oyla Shloima says a gevaldige teretz. He says, when is there a halacha of ain't other magna davar shelo b'loyel? He says that is in a situation where there's a coin and a makna, a typical transaction, a seller and a buyer. There, says the Sefer Oyla Shloima, that if the item that's under consideration is not in existence, so we can't have gemiras das, we can't have a real understanding that there's a transaction on something that doesn't exist. However, he says, when we speak about kachim, it's a very different situation. There isn't a koin and a makna. There's a hegdish that I'm magdish, and it becomes kadosh. Since there are two parties involved, then the rule of ein adam magdish tavish loy b'loylam doesn't apply. So says the Gemara, v'tzricha. Rabbi Yochanan actually said two rules that are exactly the same, that you can be magdish and uber. And the Gemara's question is, why did he have to say two rules that essentially say the same? Answers the Gemara. We need both rules. The Ashminen Bach Kamaisa, where Rabbi Yochanan spoke a case where somebody was Magdish and Uber, I would say Hasam Hud Agdishe, because since he explicitly was Magdish to Uber Gufe, there was Magdish to Uber itself, that's why it's an effective Hegdish, according to Rabbi Yochanan. Abel Hocha, in the second case, the Agdish Ime, where he was magdish to mother and did not specify that he's also being magdish to Uber, who klal imei lekadosh? Maybe it doesn't become hegdish together with its mother. Therefore, he had to say that it becomes hegdish by itself. V'yashmein in Bas Raisa, if we only had a second case where he was magdish the mother as well, hasam who is where Rabbi Yochanan will say the agdish law, the called the ispa, that it and everything in it becomes hegdish, the mother and the baby. Abu Hocha, but in the first case, the agdish alay, where he was only magdish the uber, even the lesser avroy, since he wasn't Magdish, the mother, like Kaddish, the Uber shouldn't become Kaddish either. Sricha, that's why he had to say both rules. Lishnachrina, another version of this discussion, and particularly Rabbi Yochanan's opinion. My Kamashma, what's Rabbi Yochanan teaching us? Im Shiuri Mishiri. That if he was Magdish, if he wasn't Magdish the Uber, it was only Magdish the mother, that Uber will remain Meshuyer, it will remain Chul. Why? Because it's obvious that it is the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan that Uber Lav Yerach Imayu, that the fetus is not considered part of the mother, it's viewed as a separate entity. So ask the Gemara, Vatata Lamali. Again, why does Rabbi Yochanan have to say both rules? If Rabbi Yochanan tells us that Uber Lav Yerach Imay, so obviously the Uber and the mother are considered two separate entities. And if the Uber and the mother are considered two separate entities, so the Hegdish of each one is separately, answers the Gemara, the Yitma Baha, if he only said the case where he was Magdish the mother, he could also be Magdish the child, because there, Meshum the Ima Chaziel Gufa. If the case that when you were Magdish the mother, the Uber is also considered Hegdish, because the mother itself became Hegdish. And therefore we say, the Rabbi Yochanan will be holy, the Migud and Nachsa Kedusha Law, since the mother became Hegdish, Nachsa Nami Levlad, the child becomes Hegdish as well. Avil Idach, but in the other case, where he was only Magdish the Uber itself, Loi, Rabbi Yochanan will agree that the Uber doesn't become Kaddish. Kamash Malon Hadar, that's why Rabbi Yochanan teaches us that you can be Magdish to Uber even without the mother. V'yekma b'ha, and if we only learned the case where somebody was Magdish to Uber, Mishum the Kamafish Kedusha ala Vlad, because he clearly indicated that he wants the Uber to be Kaddish. Ava alahi, where he just was Magdish a pregnant animal, and that the Uber should automatically become independently Kaddish, maybe Rabbi Yochanan won't hold that. Tzricha, that's why I had to speak about both cases. Said the Gemara, Yosef Rav Zeir v'kamala shmatza. Rav Zeir was sitting and said over what Bat Pada said, that you can't make Kedusha on an Uber. You can't bring Kedusha on an Uber. Eser Rav Yair Miyol Rav Zeir, the Mishnah teaches us later in Amasechta. Ketzem Arimim al-Bukhar. We have an animal that is going to have a baby, and that baby is a Bukhar. That we discussed in Sech Bukhairis and in Al Masechta, you must give to Bukhar. So the Mishnah discusses if there's a halachically permissible way of getting out of that obligation. Says the Mishnah, Hamavakar Shais Mugaris, if this animal is pregnant, Oima Mashur Meya Zazu Oila. Any animal that's in the mother's womb should be considered a carbon oila. And therefore, the halach is Yol Zachar. If it indeed has a baby boy, Oila, that animal will have Kedushas Oila. So isn't that a Raya, Alma Kaddish Uber, that we can make an Uber Kaddish? Because otherwise, if my father is correct, that you can't make an Uber Kaddish, how will that work? Answers the Gemara, Omele, Kimas Nahib Kedushas Damim. He didn't make a full-fledged Kedushas Aguf, he only made Kedushas Damim. What he meant to say was that that animal should be used to buy with it a carbon oiler, but not that it itself becomes a an oiler. There are those that say that, however, that we will apply here a concept migad nafsal kedushas damim nafsal nam kedushas aguf, and as soon as it's born, it will become a carbon oiler with a kedushas aguf. But the Kedusha that was made was only Kedusha's Tamim. Ask the Gemara, if that's Pshat, Mi Alim Kedusha's Tamim, the Kamaskalev and Bechaira, is that, so if all it has is that it's a Kedusha's Tamim, does Kedusha's Tamim have that ability? So the Mepharshim asked, why did the Gemara have to use the Lomdus of Hafka? What did the Gemara say? that since it's already Kadosh, it can't get another Kedusha because of the concept of Ein Kedusha, Chala al Kedusha. So the Mefarshim answer that if the entire concept that the Gemara wanted to follow was a concept of Ein Kedusha, Chala al Kedusha, that wouldn't be enough to take away the obligation of giving it to the Kayyum. Only because the Gemara is saying that it has a Kedusha Stam on it already, and therefore it doesn't have, and therefore another, and therefore it can't become Bechayr, is the reason the Gemara uses this Lomus. Only in. But not is the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Kol Kachin, Shekot the Mumaladeshim, if an animal was a Baal Mum before you were Magdashid, V'niftu, and then you were Paidib, Chayv Bechayr Matanis. Which means, as we've discussed this Mishnah, Masech Bechayr's Daf Yadal many times, if you were Magdash an animal, it's a healthy animal, and then you were Paidib, so even though this animal no longer is Hegdish, but since at one point it had a full-fledged din of Hegdish, it has many limitations. One of the limitations is that if it has a baby, it won't be Chayv and Bechayr. But if you were Magdish the animal when it was a Baal Mum, and then you were Paidib, then that those rules don't apply. So what do we see? That you were only Magdish a Baal Mum. Now let's think about it. When you're Magdish a Baal Mum, it doesn't have a Kedushas Aguf. It's a Baal Mum. It only has Kedushas Tamim. And what does that Mishnah Masechta Bechayr tell us? Tam Adalach Shniftu. You were Magdish a Baal Mum, so your Hegdish by definition is only a Hegdish of Kedushas Tamim. And it says that after you're Paidib, Chayavra will be Chayiv and Bechayra. Before you appoint it, if it has a Bechor, even though the entire Kedusha it has, as we just described, is only Kedusha's Domim, yet still, Pturim, they'll be Ptapata from Bechorah. Alma, so we see that Alima, Kedusha's Domim, the Mafkal of Bechorah, that even if it only has a Kedusha's Domim, it could take away Hilchus Bechorah. So this, therefore, that Mishnah is not a question on Bapada anymore, because that Mishnah is speaking about the dual magnitude with a Kedusha's Domim. So the Gemara asks another question on the opinion about Pada. Eisvei, it says in a Braisa, if somebody says what is in the womb of this animal should be an Oila, the loch is, the teres begiza, the sir ba'avoida. You're allowed to shear it, but you're not allowed to do avoida with it. Why you're not allowed to do avoida with it? Mishum kichush uvishaba. Because when you work with this animal, you are, when you're weakening the uber. So Farshim asks, why does it have to say because you're weakening the uber? When you're working with a pregnant animal, you're not just working with the mother, you're working with the baby as well. And the baby is Kaddish. So Farshim answered two answers I saw to this question. The proof that when they say a nice proof, we know that a pregnant animal, a pregnant person the same, is weaker than a non-pregnant animal. So what do we see from that? That if we say that the uber actually helps in the avoida, so why is it that it's harder for a pregnant animal to work? It should be easier for an animal, for a pregnant animal to work. The fact that we see that a pregnant animal finds it more difficult to work is a proof that the baby doesn't participate in the work. That's one teretz that I saw. Another teretz that I saw is that a child, as we discussed and will still discuss, can be perhaps considered Yerech Imay or not Yerech Imay. It cannot be considered an extension of its mother or not. But nobody will consider a mother an extension of the child. And since nobody considers the mother an extension of the child, if you're working with the mother, it's not considered that the child is also being worked with. But what is a concern, what is a concern is regarding that you're weakening the child when you're working with the mother. But what do we see from here? That it's possible to be Mekadosh an Uber. Amalei, which is difficult because my father says you can't be Mekadosh an Uber. Anami Kedushas Tamim. Ask the Gemara, Umi Alim Kedushas Tamim Dasar Levavoida. Does an animal that only has a Kedushas Tamim, is it Osir Bavoida? Amalei, in. Yes, but not. And in fact, there's a Mishnah that points that. Because the Mishnah said, again, the Mishnah that we just spoke about a moment ago, that said that when you were magdish an animal, and when you were magdish it was already about mum. So as we said, it only has a kedushas tamim. The halacha is that after you redeem it, yoytzel chulin, it becomes completely chulin, the gazus will avoid. What do we see from that Mishnah? Only tamim mishum niftu, only when that kedushas tamim has been redeemed, is the halacha that you could work with it. Hakadim shiniftu, but before it was redeemed, asurim b'avoidi, you can't work with it. Why? Because even though, as we said, it only has a kedushas tamim, still the halacha is kedushas tamim asur lei b'avoidi. The Mefarshim do, in fact, however, say, the Rishonim say, that it may only be an Issa d'Rabbanan, not an Issa d'Raisa. Eisvei. From our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, Eimim mirim loy evrim v'ubrim, v'loy uvrim v'evrim. What do we see? Emuru d'loy yemer. Tumura is not effective under these circumstances. Hagdushi makachi. Is it, but, Kedushi, you can be magdishit, even though it's only an umar. Amalei says, Rav Zeir, in the question about Pada, answers the Gemara, the Vladi Kachim. Our Mishnah is speaking about Vladi Kachim, the Kachi Vikaimi. Everybody agrees, as we said at the beginning of the Sugya, that if you were Magdish, an animal when it wasn't pregnant, and afterwards becomes pregnant, then the Vlad has Kedusha. Our Mishnah is going to be speaking about such a situation. The Mishnah is speaking about an Uber that became Kaddish because it was conceived after the mother was already Hegdish, that everybody agrees that that Uber is Kaddish. Ask the Gemara, if Vlad Kachin, if we're going to say that our Mishnah speaking about Vlad Kachin, the name Iman Hudovidim. It's Mashman in our Mishnah that only while they're in their mother's womb can they not be part of the Tmura procedure. Havriyai, but once they're born, it seems, Avdin, they could be part of the Tamura procedure. V'atnan, but the Mishnah teaches us, we're going to learn on that few days, that ain't a Vlad or is a Tamura. The Vlad Kachim are never part of the Tamura procedure. So if our Mishnah is speaking about Vlad Kachim, then why does the Mishnah seem to indicate that only while it's a fetus, it can't be part of the Tamura procedure? But after it's born, it can. That isn't true. Harmani answers the Gemara, our Mishnah is following the opinion of Yehuda, the Amar Vlad is Tamura. The Vlad Kachim do indeed have the ability to be part of the Tamura procedure. But ask the Gemara, how can we say that our Mishnah is following the opinion of Yehuda? Here of Yehuda, Tamura Hudalai Abdi Averit, Amet the Kachim. Our Mishnah said that you can't make an Aver into a Tamura, but it seems that you could be magdish an Aver. Ask the Gemara, Har Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda says, Averim loy kachi, that Averim not only cannot be part of a Tamura procedure, but you can't be magdish Averim either, because Rav Yehuda doesn't agree to the concept that we mentioned in the Mishnah, Apashta Kedusha Bekula. Answers the Gemara, when doesn't Rav Yehuda agree that if you magdish an Aver, does the entire animal become Kaddish? That's only by a leg. But by Avish and Hashem Tluyabot, even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that Pashta Kedusha Bekula. So our Mishnah that makes a difference between Tamura and Hegdish can be following the opinion of Yehuda, and will be making a difference between the Tamura that's never effective on an Aver versus Hegdish by Avish and Hashem Tluyabot is effective. But by Vlad Kachim, the deed Mishnah speaking, when we speak about Uvrim, we're speaking about Vlad Kachim, and while they're in their mother's womb, they can't be part of Tamura, teaches us the Mishnah, but after they come out, they can be, according to Yehuda, part of the Tamura procedure. But there is no raya from our Mishnah that a regular, non-Hegdish animal, you should be able to have the ability to be magdish to Uber, Rabbi Pada's position is still intact.